I don't have a 15-year-old child anymore. But if I did, it would be fine for me to grow my own marijuana plant in my back garden and then harvest that plant and roll a joint and smoke it in the quiet of my backyard. But if my child were to do the same, then what? This is an issue which arises out of a matter before the South Gauteng High Court. It goes back to four pupils aged between 14 and 16 who tested positive for Dagga during a drug test at their Krugersdorp High School. They appeared before a magistrate. He issued a diversion program order, so they underwent a three-month rehab program devised by local prosecutors about 15 years ago. They didn't comply. They were hauled back before the magistrate. The magistrate then ordered that they serve an undetermined period at a Bosasa Youth Development Center for Young Offenders. The South Gauteng High Court in Johannesburg intervened. They were released from custody. And the court has now asked for submissions from interested parties on whether or not it is unconstitutional to subject children to criminal prosecution and incarceration for the use and possession of cannabis when the same is not true for adults. One of the organizations making a submission is the Center for Child Law. Zita Hasungule is the project coordinator of research and advocacy at the center. Zita, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
What are you saying to the court should happen in a situation like this?
We are essentially saying that children should not be criminalized. They should not be criminally prosecuted if they are found to be in possession or using cannabis. Criminal prosecution entails being dealt with by police, like you've mentioned, going before a court, and possibly going through detention like this group of children were. And these are all processes that can be quite traumatic for children. So we say that emphasis should be placed rather on treating drug dependency outside of the home as far as possible and not taking children through the criminal justice system.
Make it legislatively not a criminal offense for a child to smoke marijuana.
So make it legislatively that they should not be treated like a criminal if they are found to be in possession or smoking marijuana. So the same way that it is now for adults. So we have the Constitutional Court judgment that says that as an adult, if you are found smoking cannabis, you would not be criminally prosecuted if this happens in the privacy of your own home. And we're saying children should not be treated worse off than adults. Actually, children are more vulnerable than adults and should receive treatment that is then taking that vulnerability into account.
What does the law say at the moment? I mean, is there a specific clause which deals with marijuana and children?
So we have the Drugs and Drug Trafficking Act, and we're specifically looking at Section 4B of the Act that says that if you are found to be in possession or use of cannabis, so if you're contravening Section 4B of the Act, then you are going to be criminally prosecuted. And this is what this group of children were criminally prosecuted under.
And, I mean, how would this play then into schools and drug tests and so on?
Right. So, to go back to the set of facts is that essentially the schools were not supposed to have used the drug test to take the children through the criminal justice process. Whatever the test resulted from was supposed to be used to, let's say, engage with the Department of Social Development or other community-based organizations that could assist the children. So if drug tests happen at school, we're saying that the first port of call is not the police. The first port of call is to understand what is going on in this individual's child's life and what sort of assistance needs to be provided in terms of social assistance and not criminal response and not a harsh criminal response. Because remember, when children go into child and youth care centers like this, they are not just engaging with another child that has smoked marijuana. You are engaging with a child who's committed a much more serious crime.
I mean, this particular case and this issue hasn't received a lot of public and media prominence, but I suspect that many people are going to be wagging a finger at you and saying you're normalizing drug use for children and you're kind of making it okay for kids to smoke dope.
So we are not saying that it's okay for kids, for children to smoke dope. What we are saying is that we don't want a criminal justice response that is harsh and doesn't fix the underlying problem. So we want the underlying problem, what is going on? Why is this child feeling that they have to be smoking weed? That is something that needs to be addressed. Criminal justice response. So then we are asking the question, do you think the criminal justice response is going to deal with underlying issues, if there are any underlying issues?
And the way that this that cannabis fits in with cigarettes and alcohol, because it is illegal for a child under the is it illegal for a child under the age of 18 to consume alcohol per se, or it's certainly illegal for them to buy it. It is illegal. It is illegal for children under the age of 18 to purchase cigarettes.
But then if we criminalize it for that. The question is, that happens all the time, but are children criminalized for doing that? And now do we want to be seen as treating children in different circumstances differently?
Should be the same for all three substances about which there are rules in terms of...
Exactly.
So it then becomes an issue for the family or an issue for the school if the use of alcohol or the use of marijuana is impacting on a child's performance in school.
Exactly. At this point, when you look at the issue of alcohol, we're not criminalizing children. We are saying we're going back to communities. We're going back to families. We're saying what is a social welfare response? Why are we treating children who are smoking cannabis any differently?
Well, because cannabis was treated differently from alcohol and cigarettes for adults for a long time, and it's taking society and the law to catch up. Taking some time for society and the law to catch up with the implications of Deputy Chief Justice Zondo's Constitutional Court ruling on this matter.
The most important thing we're saying is that look at children individually. So don't look at what you have caught them doing. Look at the individual child and say, okay, what is going on in this individual child's life and what needs to be done in order to respond to what's happening.
And where is this particular matter in terms of process through the courts, Zita? Is the South Gauteng High Court imminently going to make a ruling on this, which then I presume would have to move up through the court system?
Well, the last thing that happened was that on the 19th of September, the matter went back to court, but it's been postponed to early 2020 because further departments have been asked to make submissions. So the Department of Social Development, the police and further departments have been asked to make submissions as to what alternative solutions, programs, services are out there for children in this sorts of positions.
The NPA seems to be the only organization for the moment that wants to continue with the criminalizing approach to this matter.
And that's quite interesting because the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services came in, wrote submissions, and said that there's indisputable evidence that says that arresting children for the use of cannabis has a negative effect on them right now and throughout their lives. So we're hoping that whatever other departments or state institutions come in will support those submissions and say, yes, we believe that it has a negative effect on children, and this is how we can deter that negative effect or prevent that negative effect. These are the alternatives to a criminal justice response.
Thank you very much, Zita Sungule, Project Coordinator for Research and Advocacy at the Center for Child Law.